All right. Good morning. My name is Scott Anderson. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here, the guy with the microphone on his head today. I had a horrible sleep last night and fighting a cold, so I sound different inside my head. Do I sound different to you? Whoa. Thank you. We'll pray for no distractions on that front. One thing before we pray, I'll just say, I know Simon mentioned the barbecue and potluck next week. Just want to emphasize, it is a potluck, so don't bring pot, but bring some things. We need things, okay? It's a community lunch, right? So find your best coleslaw or that best bag of chips that's on the shelf in the whatever and plan to bring something next week, okay? And if you want to come and serve on one of the teams to make it a great event, then sign up today back in the commons at the table there and they'd love to help you join the crew, all right? Let's pray as we shift gears to listen to God's word together. Living God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you that we are not alone, that in your grace you call us and draw us to yourself, but not just to yourself, but to one another. And we find ourselves in a crowd this morning, a crowd that you want more and more to make a community, a family, by your grace, by your Spirit. So we thank you for the women and men sitting around us, for those that have run off to other parts of the building to serve with our kids, to serve this morning in different practical ways. God, we thank you for the grace of community. We recognize that each of us brings into this room today longings, aches, dreams, gratitude, challenges. And we ask, God, that you would open us up today here to hear your voice, to hear where you are speaking to us in the wrestling places that we find ourselves, and as well that you would give us faith for one another, love for one another, God, that we would be a part of your care, your meeting other people today, somehow by your grace. Thanks for leading this morning in ways that we've already heard, for putting in Simon's heart and putting in Carly's heart last night, Psalm 117, and inviting us to take that to heart. And so we bow to you now, Holy Spirit, would you give us ears to hear your voice? Amen. I want to begin this morning with a story, an experience in my life that sparked a shift in me, in my prayers, and my life with God. It happened when I was a university student at Trinity Western University. I was in my second year, must have been about 20. I was in the midst of a season of asking a lot of questions about the Holy Spirit, about his presence and work in our world and in me. And wherever I could, I'd study what Scripture taught about the Holy Spirit, and I would seek the wisdom and counsel of other godly women and men. And not surprisingly, in and through that season, I prayed a lot. And I say not surprisingly because, as we've talked about over the last while, the Holy Spirit is not fundamentally a doctrine to be grasped or a power to be accessed, but a person to be known. A divine person who makes the Father and the Son known to us. And so if the Spirit is the personal presence of God who comes to make God known to us, it makes sense that we would pray, that we would approach God in a personal way, speaking, sharing, relating, even listening, to know God and be known by God. And so as I said, in that season, I found myself praying a lot, alone on my knees in the prayer chapel at school, at home in my room, as I drove to and from school, as I traversed the campus or navigated the trails in what was called the Back 40. And wherever possible, I prayed with friends and mentors. And somewhere in that season, I got invited to participate in with some friends who would gather and pray together every Saturday night in the old chapel building, which was now where the band classes met. You know, people are spiritual when they commit to Saturday night prayer, right? So I got invited into this group. We met kind of mid-evening and went late into the night until we were done. I came along for this season, and I found myself being drawn into something I'd never experienced before, at least not so intensely, because there wasn't an agenda. There wasn't a plan. There was no prayer list. There was no going around and sharing prayer requests, just this simple, expectant invitation for God by His Spirit to lead us, in prayer for the things that God's heart was beating for, to inspire us, to speak among us and to us. And I'll be honest, at first, I was totally at a loss. I did not know what to do. I was waiting for a list, waiting for a request to be shared. I didn't know what to do or how I was supposed to enter into it. But slowly over those weeks, as I prayed with these friends and acquaintances becoming friends, as I heard and recognized God leading us, stirring us, speaking among us, my understanding and posture toward prayer began to change. I think we caught a little glimpse of it this morning. Carly, I love that you shared about that scripture, how God put that on your heart last night. That happens. We feel like drawn to something, or we're talking with a friend and something feels strong for us and we just think we have a thought. But I can't help but think that God led you and Simon for a reason. And hearing the affirmation of another speak something that's stirring in you caused you to have faith to say, maybe this is more than just a scripture that stood out to me. Maybe it's something the Spirit's speaking. The Spirit's voice can be very subtle, but real. And that's what started to happen for me in this ugly old prayer chapel or chapel room praying with these friends. As I began to grasp, to understand, to know by experience that prayer isn't just something we do to seek God, but it's a way for us to be drawn into what God is doing, to join with God in seeking what God is seeking on earth as it is in heaven. Which isn't how we often think, view, approach prayer, is it? Think about the last time you stopped to really seek God in prayer. Maybe you were faced with a crucible. Maybe you had a major decision in front of you. Maybe someone around you going through a crisis or a health announcement. And you turn to God in prayer, maybe alone or with others. I wonder, how did you approach God in that moment? How did you view your role in prayer? And how did you view God's role in prayer? So often we tend to view prayer and approach prayer as though we're the initiators, as though we're the ones doing the work, as though we're the active ones in prayer. We pray and God hopefully responds, or at least listens. We pray and God hopefully answers. But in truth, that's not how it works or happens, because according to Scripture, prayer is itself the fruit of the work of the Holy Spirit. It is a result of the Spirit's doing. Prayer is not what makes the Spirit come. It's what happens because the Holy Spirit has come and is at hand and is at work, stirring our hearts with a hunger for God and the things of God. Listen to what the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, wrote to the Christians in Galatia. Galatians 4, verse 4 and following. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, and the language there is specific in a male sense, not just applying to men, but in the context of Paul's day, the male heirs had a unique gift from the father, from the parents. And so we're all sons in this text. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba Father. Do you hear that? The Spirit who calls out Abba Father has been sent into our hearts. In Romans 8, verse 15, Paul says the same thing and adds these words. He says, "And by him we cry, Abba, Father." By what? By him, by the Spirit. By the presence and ministry and grace of the Spirit, we find our hearts turning toward God and crying out, "Abba, Father." In response to the Spirit, in response to the Spirit who is at work, maybe secretly, quietly, but in a real way, we pray. Prayer isn't what we do to get God's attention. Prayer is what God inspires us to do to get our attention, to get us attending to God and involved in what he is up to and seeking, to draw us into what he is doing by the Spirit. By the Spirit calls out, "Abba, Father," and because the Spirit is in us, we find our hearts crying out too. Which tells us, no matter what we think or feel in the moment, we are never the initiators in prayer. The Spirit is. The Spirit doesn't come because we pray, but we pray because the Spirit has come to us. With hunger for him, yes. For his intimacy, for his presence, for his power, for his will, yes, but all because he is already at hand and at work in us, in grace, stirring and inspiring us to prayer, which should give us pause and hope as we come to pray, whether on our own or with others. It should give us pause in the sense of causing us to not view or treat God as the uninformed one, as the inactive or disinterested one. Man, how often do we come to God in prayer with that as our mindset? Oh, I better let God know about this. Or I better help God to care about this. We are, at times, the uninformed ones. Inactive, disinterested, but God is never. Truth is, God, the one we address in prayer, is the one who knows better than we do about everything, who cares more than we do about everything, and he is already at hand and at work. We need to remind ourselves of this. I need to often remind myself of this. As we come to God with something deep and desperate, or maybe something incredibly mundane, to speak, as we did through that song that Simon led us in, that song that said, "I am who you say I am," right? We need at times to speak these truths back into ourselves. I was reading Trevor Hudson's book on the Spirit recently, and he talks about affirmative prayer and the need at times to name truth as a way, he described it as stacking wood in preparation for the Spirit to set it ablaze. And we need at times to remind ourselves of these truths as we turn to God in prayer about that epic story, that great pain, that global reality, or that very mundane but real need that we have. That we are bowing before someone who knows and who cares about it more than we do. And so in prayer, it's not as though we need to inform God as much as we are invited to wake up to and participate with God, to join God in seeking what he is seeking on earth as it is in heaven. Understanding the Spirit's primacy in prayer should give us pause as we pray. And hope, maybe even more so. Hope that the God who has inspired us to pray will meet and lead us in prayer. Hope that the God who is already at work inspiring us to pray will be at work in our praying. I love how Gordon Fee has put it. He writes, "Prayer is not simply our cry of desperation or our grocery list of requests that we bring before our heavenly Abba. Prayer is an activity inspired by God himself through his Holy Spirit." No matter how much spiritual emotions we have or don't have. Or to put it another way, prayer is not simply our cry of desperation or our grocery list of requests that we bring before our Heavenly Father. Prayer is the Spirit's invitation for us to join him in seeking the Father. Which isn't to say that prayer, that our prayers at times are not desperate cries. They totally are. I've been there so many times. I am there. I will be there. Nor is it to say that we don't and can't at times come to God with so much to seek him for. We do, and we will. But if that's all we think prayer is, then we've missed so much. Because prayer is not something we do to God. We pray to God. But prayer, Christian prayer, is always in the Spirit. A participation with God. As Fee says, an activity inspired by God himself through his Holy Spirit. Which means that when we come to pray with our desperate cries and our grocery lists, we're invited to come with hope and thankfulness that God doesn't just want to hear our prayers, but to actually meet us in prayer, to lead us in prayer, that we might join him in what he's doing. Which I don't know about you, but for me, is very freeing. Because prayer understood and approached as primarily my work, my job, is exhausting. Because there's just so much to pray for. Even just here within this room, my goodness, if we stopped and named all the stuff for which we need God to show up, we could feel so overwhelmed that we just say, I'm out. It's too much. It's exhausting. It's endless. But prayer understood and experienced as an invitation to participate with the Spirit in what God is doing, there's something so different there. As one of my professors used to say, this alone is worth the price of admission. Not that praying in the Spirit isn't still at times hard work, but it is never solitary work. It's shared work with God. As much as we may imagine, picture, think of ourselves getting alone with God to pray, we never get alone to pray. We always, even in solitude, come together into the active life of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And we find ourselves sharing the load, which is something I need to constantly be reminded of. I remember a season a few years back when I was aching for this, tired of prayer as speaking laundry lists at God, longing to participate with others in drawing near to God to seek what's on his heart. And one day in the midst of that season, I was invited to go with a few others to pray for one of our friends, Charlotte, who'd been in a car accident the day before. She was on my pastoral team. I was new to the community. And on the way over, one of my friends and colleagues, Mike, asked whether I'd like to lead the prayer time or have him lead. And I invited him to do so because at that point he really knew Charlotte a lot better than me. And so after some catching up with Charlotte, hearing the story of what had happened, how she was doing, we went to pray. And instead of just diving into our, oh God, would you please, Mike began by offering our time to God and one another, offering one another to God and inviting God to lead us and expressing our desire and intent to simply pray as God would lead us, to join him in seeking what he most wanted in that moment. And it was such a gift to Charlotte, but also a gift to me, to find myself with others drawing near to God in prayer, not just praying our lists and needs, speaking at God, but turning to God in prayer, bowing before God in prayer, meeting with God in prayer, and following God in prayer, joining with God and seeking what he's seeking. It's one of the reasons why I love coming as often as I can to our early morning Wednesday prayer group. We meet in this room, 7 a.m. almost every Wednesday of the year. Jerry's guaranteed to be there unless he's in Nova Scotia, and a handful of others, a dozen others. You're all invited if you want to come. I try to get there as often as I can because amidst the many needs that we name, and we do, we spend the first half an hour just talking through the needs of our community, our missionaries, those among us and around us who are struggling in significant ways, often with health issues. After that, we bow before God And we name things. There's some laundry list happening, but in the midst of it, there is also a bowing and a listening and a following. And I say that, I know that, because so often when we get to eight, I don't want it to be eight. Because we haven't just listed the stuff. We've drawn near to God. And God has met us and stirred us and led us. Okay, so what about the times when we don't experience God's leading? I'm sure three or four of us have had that experience. Whatever, right? What about the times when we don't experience God's leading? The times when we come to pray or feel a deep need to pray, an ache to pray, but we can't. We just don't know what to say. We don't know what to pray for. We can't make sense of what's going on or what's needed or what God wants. Has anyone ever been there? I see your hands. Like many of you, I have known many days like this. I have also known long seasons where every day was like this. Needing God so deeply, but not being able to make sense of the mess of motives inside me, or what God's will was for me or for others. And yet even here, as we read scripture, we are invited in the grace of God to trust that we do experience the Spirit. We may not grasp it, but we need to know and trust this. To trust the Spirit in our times of not knowing what to pray. For the mystery of God's grace, not only does the Spirit call us to prayer and inspire us to prayer, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, prays. That's what scripture tells us. In us and with us and for us. And this is so good to know. And particularly when we find ourselves weak and unable to pray. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, again. Romans 8, verses 26 and following. If you read the passage, you'll know that here Paul has named the ways in which all of creation groans in eager longing for the day of redemption. And that this groaning is something that every one of us who are in Christ experiences. We live with this ache, this longing, this groaning for the fullness of God's redeeming work in us and in all. And Paul writes, Romans 8, verse 26 and following, in the same way, just as creation groans and we groan, in the same way the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. That's an Instagram post in the waiting, friends. Do it, okay? Do we hear that? The Spirit intercedes for us. I woke up today having hardly slept, feeling like a wreck, concerned that I wouldn't have the capacity to stand right here. And that's real. Just a cold. I'm not dying. Pardon?
You're a man. Yes,
you are. Oh. Can we just stop and pray right now? God, we ask for your forgiveness for Karen and her harsh words. Lord, have mercy on her. Okay, thank you. But what I was going to say is, I had hope. I had hope, as I did half an hour ago, sitting in the back room praying with some of the team. Because even if my heart's not able to stir with a passion for God, somehow in the mystery of grace, God's heart is stirring for us. And the Spirit is interceding for us in our weakness. What an incredible mystery and grace that though we don't always know what we need, though we don't always know what to pray for, though we don't always know what God wants, the Holy Spirit does. He knows our hearts better than we ever could. He knows what we need better than we ever could. And he knows the will of the Father better than we ever could. And in grace, he the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of a living God, who knows us, who knows our needs, who knows the will of the Father, prays for us, for you, for me. Do you know that? Right now, though you may not understand all that you need, though you may not understand what God wants for you, the Spirit does and is praying, interceding for you and for me. Paul says the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. What a gift on so many levels. A gift to know that weakness, feeling our incompleteness, not understanding God's will are all to be expected as we walk in the Spirit. As we go through this series, we talked last two Sundays about walking in the Spirit. Some of us easily get to places of weakness, feeling incomplete, feeling broken, and we just think that puts us outside, as though we're not really in the Spirit. And yet here Paul names that there are times in a life in the Spirit, a life in Christ, where we feel weak, where we feel deeply incomplete, where our primary experience is longing for healing, not gratitude and thankfulness. It's a gift here to know that these things are not evidence that we have misstepped, but just a part of the journey this side of the cross in Christ. That's a gift that we all need to be reminded of, to remind one another of often, that gives room for all of us. But more than that, what an incredible gift to know that in our weakness and confusion, when we don't know what to pray for, when we can't make sense of our own hearts or God's heart and will, when we can't form our prayers, the Holy Spirit does for us. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. I love that line. I know I hardly understand it, what it means and looks like, but one thing that seems clear is that Paul is saying that the Spirit enters into our experience. We groan. Creation groans. And God himself, the Holy Spirit, groans with us and for us. And yet also goes beyond it. It's not just a passive, distant, oh, I feel for you, but that groaning translates into an interceding for us in accordance with the will of God. There's so much mystery here. That somehow God the Spirit seeks God the Father through God the Son for us. But I'll embrace that mystery every day, because it's a gift of grace, isn't it? Why would we ever be afraid, whatever we're facing, when we know that God the Spirit seeks God the Father through God the Son for us? To know that not just that we are invited to pray in the Spirit, by the Spirit, in cooperation with the Spirit, but that the Spirit himself prays for us. Some of you will know I'm a fan of British evangelical Anglicans, so I'm going to quote one of them today. Michael Green, I love how he describes this grace of the Spirit. He says, "The Holy Spirit understands not only the mind of the Lord, but the mind of struggling Christians. He knows we find it hard to pray. He knows that there are times when we feel so deeply and yet so confusedly that we cannot frame petitions, but simply come in silent pleading to the Lord. He knows that we are often very unsure what is the will of God, and therefore cannot pray with clarity and confidence about it. He knows the varied and perplexing circumstances in which we are placed, and he helps. The very word in Greek is highly suggestive. It means he grasps the situation for us and with us. He frames the petition on our lips, and he prays within us to the Father with sighs too deep for words." What an incredible gift of grace to celebrate and trust and find hope in again today. A number of years ago, I signed up for a silent prayer retreat. I was living and pastoring in Saskatoon, the Paris of the prairies at the time. I think that's a line from Blue Rodeo, Paris of the Prairies. I think they said that. That's true. Gotta go. I'd recently discovered that in the heart of the city, this little beautiful city, was a wonderful Catholic retreat center open to all people, about 10 minutes from my home, along the river. I was in a season of great wrestling. Wrestling with so much at a loss in so many ways, wrestling to make sense of my own heart and even more of God's heart, of God's leading for me. But also, I honestly was just wrestling to know God's presence in the midst of it all. And so I signed up for this retreat as a way to set other things aside and hopefully receive God's direction. The other big draw for me was that the retreat also offered a daily meeting with a spiritual director, a pastor, someone trained to help you listen to what God is saying to you. And I felt like I needed that. I needed some spiritual companionship, someone to listen to me and with me to God. And on the second day, after hours, those hours felt long, of silence and prayer, of reading and groaning, I came to my second meeting with my spiritual director. She asked me what I was longing for, why I'd come. And I shared that I was longing to know God's direction as to whether I should stay where I was or be open to something else. But deeper than this, I just longed for God, for whatever God would want for me. I longed to know God in this season of my wrestling. And in the sacred space of that office, she then invited me to close my eyes and bow before God in prayer. And in my imagination, and I don't typically use my imagination much, in my imagination, to come before God. And instantly, I could see myself at the beach in White Rock, where I grew up after my years in Victoria. A beach I'd prayed at so many times, sitting on a log. I would love to have brought a log today, but didn't happen. I could see myself sitting there on this log with my head hung low and very heavy and my hands out open to God. That was me in that moment. And then as we sat, I saw Jesus sitting beside me on the log with his head bowed and his arms out open to God. And then I saw Jesus standing behind me with a hand on my shoulder and hand up to God, to heaven, praying for me, which wasn't what I was wanting. I wanted Jesus out here saying, all right, let's go. I'm going to take you. We're going to go that way. But that's not where he was. But it didn't matter. Not anymore. Because I knew that I wasn't alone sitting on a log crying out to an empty cosmos. But Jesus, the living God, by the Spirit, was praying with me and for me. And my heaviness lifted so undeniably. I still had no idea where God was going to lead me. I didn't know what God's will was in the epic decision before me, but it didn't matter because I knew that Jesus was waiting with me, praying with me, and praying for me. And that was enough for me. Enough to fill me with rest and peace and hope amidst big questions and uncertainties. And though this could sound just like my personal experience, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul says the Holy Spirit does, is doing for you, for me, for all of us. In our weakness, in our confusion, in our groaning and ache for the redemption of our bodies and our lives and our world, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Amen. Thank God. If you're weak today, if you don't know what to pray for, but you know that you need, bow. Come in faith. Come in hope today that God is at work. He's seeking his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven in you. He cares about, he knows all that's going on. He cares more than you do about the stuff that breaks you right now. And he is at hand. He invites you, invites me to follow him in prayer, to join with him. Let's pray. I'll invite the worship team and invite those that are going to help serve communion to come up as we pray. Before I pray, I just invite you to speak to God, whatever is your heart's response today. Living God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your revelation to us through Scripture. The ways in which you and your mercy don't leave us as orphans to dream up a story of who God might be. But you in your grace are a seeking God who seeks us. In Christ. And in Christ now, by your Spirit, oh Father, awaken us as we live our lives before you, as we bow to you, as we come with our weakness, our frailty, our longings, our brokenness. Oh God, awaken us to who you are and what you are doing. Forgive us for thinking that we're the ones who care most, who know most, who are doing something and you are off having a nap needing to be awakened. Oh Lord, awaken us to your mercy and grace. Oh Holy Spirit, awaken us to the Father and the Son and lead us. We thank you that the gospel does lead us into the grace of your life. That we are invited to be a people who live today caught up in your active pursuit of your kingdom and will on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, God. And we just lift to you one another. We recognize again, this is not just about each of us in isolation, but we lift to you the women and men who are sitting around us today who also feel weak, incomplete, at a loss, needing your presence, needing to know that you are at work. Lord, we ask that you would awaken them as you would awaken us. You would awaken us as a community to know your grace and to come in faith, Lord. For now, amen. We're going to shape our response by coming to the Lord's table to take the bread and the cup, these symbols of the death, the offering, the sacrifice of Jesus. And we do this not just because it's that other week when we do this, but because this life in the Spirit we're talking about is ours because of Christ. And honestly, we need to connect our understanding of the Spirit and his work and presence and ministry with the work and presence and ministry of Jesus. How is it that we know Jesus to be a seeking God who comes out of the heavens running after us, pursuing us, going after the sinner, the broken, the outcast, a father who goes after the prodigal, a shepherd who looks for the lost sheep, and we don't think the same of the Spirit? The Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And he, like Jesus, is running after us today, inviting us to himself. So I invite us to come. We are invited to come today, to come in our need, come in our brokenness, to come to Jesus at the table, to receive from the hands of another sinner who knows God's grace, these symbols of God's act of grace toward us. If today you know that you need the restoring grace of Jesus, the healing touch of Jesus, the life, the forgiveness, the mercy of Jesus, come. Please come with us. You are invited. These bread and this juice, there's nothing magical about it, but Jesus, he's got life for us as we come to him. So let's come to him. Amen? So as we sing, I invite those in the back to come first, and we'll work our way towards the front. If, like me, you have dietary challenges, come to one of these middle two stations, and that will be most helpful for you. But let us come above all to Christ today. He invites us. I want to invite us, we're going to pray to close. I'm always conscious, any day we get together, there is much more that God would love to do this morning. The sermon, the songs, communion are not the whole of the Spirit's ministry. And so we're going to pray to close. But I want to invite us, to just open our hearts to God. Maybe take a moment right now, just do a quick scan around, look at the people around, do it, look around. Don't be afraid, look. Okay? We're going to pray, and I just want to invite you, if in the next moment or minutes, God just leans your heart towards someone, go say hello. Or if you feel like you need prayer, can I invite you to ask someone, hey, could you pray for me? Could you pray with me? If you don't know what to pray, ask for the Spirit's leading. Maybe pray the Lord's Prayer, because that's something the Spirit always leads us to, and we just sing it, right? God's always wanting to bring his kingdom, his will, to provide for us, to rescue us, to forgive us, to lead us in forgiveness. Those are things the Spirit's always up to. So, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6, and the Spirit will lead you. But let's not just race out, although you're allowed to race out. but there might be more the Spirit wants to do this morning. I know some of us are going to gather and pray for Erica Cottrell in the prayer room. So if you would like to gather with us, Erica and Glenn, we're going to pray for her this morning. But there might be other prayer that needs to happen. So let's pray. Living God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you that this is not just history. That we today don't just remember a day when you were active, when you were alive, when you were living. And we read about it in a book. But rather, by the grace of your Spirit, you, through your word, and through the life of your people, you awaken us, desire to awaken us all the more, to know your life and your grace and mercy, your cleansing, your renewing, your sanctifying grace today. And that in your mercy and grace, you draw us, weak, groaning people that we are, and make us a part of your ministry. And so we bow before you right now and offer ourselves to you. We open ourselves to you, God, and ask if someone you want us to extend ourselves to this morning, to come draw near to listen to care for, to pray for. Lord, we are your servants, and we long for your kingdom and your will to be done here more and more. Not just in us. So lead us. Lord, who would you have us reach out to in faith and love? Thank you for the ways you have met us this morning and spoken to us, the prayers and songs that we have sung and prayed that we have needed. Thank you, God, for your purpose long ago, your wisdom in ordaining the Lord's Supper to be a regular part of our life, to turn us back to celebrate the gospel at the heart of our lives and our life together. And we just bow to you and ask that you continue to open our eyes to your grace and draw us into it, God. And so as Paul says at the end of 2 Corinthians, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen. 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 Go in Christ and follow the Spirit. Amen.